So from time to time, we have the pleasure of hearing from various missionaries who are serving various parts of the world. And this morning, we have the pleasure of hearing from one of my good friends. His name is Elliot Jones. I'm going to invite Elliot to come on up. Why don't you guys give Elliot a round of applause? Give him a hand. So Elliot and I have known each other for quite some time, nearly 10 years, I would say. And Elliot is currently a missionary to Iceland. So you moved there for your master's degree?
Yeah.
To study Viking?
Medieval history.
Medieval history. But he fell in love with the country and the people, and now he's a missionary and a church planter there. And he was visiting the Pacific Northwest, and I was like, hey, we should have you come and chat. And so he's going to share for about probably 10 minutes or so, just share what is going on with him and Iceland and his church and all that stuff. And so without further ado, why don't we say hi to Elliot?
Hey, guys. Well, it's good to be with you. It's so cool that you guys get to worship outside. I'll tell you, this would never work in Iceland. Even in the summer, like, the weather changes like that. The wind is crazy. This would never work. But it's a great privilege for me to just be able to come and worship with you this morning and to be able to share a little bit just about Iceland, about what God's doing there, and just a little bit of our story. And so just very briefly, as you know, my name is Elliot. I showed up there. I met my wife on my second day on the island. I didn't know she was my wife at that point, or that she was going to be my wife. But anyway, we got married a couple years later. We have a daughter who is 15 months old this morning, so we're happy about that. And we have another one on the way who is due at the end of October. I want to tell you guys just a little bit of Iceland's story and then a little bit about what we do there. So in the post-Reformation world of Europe, Iceland was actually the second country to have the Bible in their own language, in the vernacular. Some Icelandic priest really loved what was going on in Germany, and he smuggled some stuff into what was a Catholic country at the time, and in a barn by candlelight translated the New Testament into Icelandic. And so by the 1530s, Iceland had a New Testament in Icelandic. For the next 200 years, some of the most beautiful works of just psalms, of sermons, prayers were produced in Iceland. But those 200 years were also some of the roughest for this island nation. 200 years of plague, natural disaster, famine, invasion by pirates. That's a funny story. They thought they were Turks, but they were actually Algerians. But everybody's a Turk, I guess, when you don't know the rest of the world. So that's a funny story for another time, though. But in 1783, the Icelandic Parliament gathers together. And the main item up for discussion is, has God deemed this island uninhabitable, and should we move to Denmark? It's been 200 years of struggle and suffering, so should we move to Denmark? And overwhelmingly, the vote was, no, we're going to tough this out. We're going to stay here. This is our island. We're going to make it work. And so that stubbornness, that pride, I say that in a good way, that indomitable spirit still very much drives Iceland today and Icelanders today. They're very proud of this. In fact, they have one Nobel Prize winner in their history, which has led them to say, we have the most Nobel Prize winners per capita because they have one. So anyway, but he wrote a book on this in the 1930s, and it's one of the most famous works of literature in Iceland. And it captures this spirit of independence and just, I'm going to figure this out. We're going to figure this out on our own. We're going to make this work. And somewhere along the way, there were these beautiful works, this love, this trust of God. And somewhere along the way, that got traded for independence. That got traded for a self-made, it's not quite pioneer or adventure, but like, you know, a self-made farmer in Iceland. And Iceland was one of the poorest countries in the world until about 70 to 50 years ago. Now they're one of the wealthiest. And so they live very full physical lives, but very empty spiritual ones. somewhere along the way, the faith was not passed down from one generation to the next. And so the context in which we're ministering in, there is a state church that's there, but the state church doesn't even remotely resemble anything that we would, that anything that anyone would recognize as orthodoxy. When you're born, you're registered into the state church. You're baptized into it as an infant. You're confirmed at 14. I have many friends who tell me, yes, I was confirmed at 14, but I'm an atheist. And I was an atheist when I was confirmed, but it's just, it's what you do. The state church fulfills the function of birth, confirmation, marriage, and death. And then there are a handful of so-called free churches who are not connected to the state church, and that's a church that we're connected with. And I would say on the island, for a population of 400,000, which is huge, not really, for a population of 400,000, there are three churches that you could go to, and you will hear a clear gospel of Jesus week by week. And there are another three that if you were to go there long enough, you'd probably pick it up. And that's it. But there is one church building for every 1,000 Icelanders. So there's a lot of empty, beautiful church buildings, but that are empty and that are they stand as a relic and a testimony to a bygone era. And so this sense of do-it-yourself, there's also, that dominates thinking there, this sense of we've kind of gotten what we need from the church and we don't need it anymore. There's a lot of spiritual apathy. Literally, I've shared with people, and by the end, they go, well, it sounds like, I'm going to be separated from God. I'm like, right, but, the whole point of this is God's reaching down, inviting you into this. And the answer is, yeah, I don't care. And so we have the privilege of serving with one of these churches in Reykjavik. It's called the Upper Room Baptist Church. In Icelandic, we're called Lostoan Baptistakirkja. So if you want to try and pronounce that, you're welcome to do that with me. I've been serving there for the last 8 years. God really... How much time do I have? Hey, I'm doing okay. This is good. So when I showed up in Iceland, I was thinking that God was going to send me to the Middle East. I knew that I was going to be involved in ministry in some way, and I really thought that's where God was going to send me. And so I showed up. I'm like, I need to get my grad degree, and then I'm moving. I'm getting out of here. And about 3 months in, it felt almost like it wasn't a physical hand, but God, it felt like God just put his hand on my chest and said, stop. Look around you. Look at what's going on. Look at what's not going on. And so I had the sense of, okay, I don't have to leave right away. I could stay for a few more years. And then a few years happened. It's like, okay, I could stay for a few more years. And now, as Lou said in the beginning here, God has just grown in our hearts, for myself and my wife, just a growing burden for the people of Iceland, and specifically for the second largest town in the north. It's called Akureyri. Do you guys want to try and pronounce that with me? Akureyri? Hey, that was good. You guys did well. This is good. See, Icelandic, it's really hard, but, we could teach it. Akureyri is the second largest town in Iceland. It's got a whopping 20,000 people, so a real metropolis. The Paris of the North, if you will. Up there, there's one church up there. They're good friends of ours. We love them. But there's a lot of work that still needs to be done there. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done in Iceland. And that's the burden that God's placed on our hearts. And so the plan is that we will be... we actually, instead of this trip, we were supposed to be moving, and then some doors just didn't open. We also have another baby on the way. So we serve with a missions organization called Pioneers, and so they recommended we get our feet under us a little bit as a family before we move, and that we finish fundraising. And so we're here just spreading news about what God's doing in Iceland. I think if you want to be in touch with me, I believe there's contact info. There's a QR code and a website link in the bulletin that you have. But Lord willing, just over the next couple of years, we're going to be moving up there. We're going to be starting a church, and Lord willing, a church that will start churches. One of the most impactful things for me has been the head pastor that I serve under at Lostón Baptista Kirkja. His name is Gunnar Gunnarsson. It's super Icelandic. He's awesome. He's one of my best friends. And from the day I've met him, his heart has been, we want to see churches planted in Iceland, and we want to see churches planted around the world. He is a church planter at heart, and I love his heart, and I love his just the vision that God's given him. And so from the beginning of my time, God's been using him to really put church planting and the spread of new churches. And so I would ask that you would pray for us, that you would just join us in praying for Iceland and just seeing the spread of the gospel, and pray that Iceland would become a country that sends missionaries, that doesn't just receive them, but that sends them, that Iceland sends people to start churches in other parts of the world. Okay, I have one quick story. The Faroe Islands, Iceland's little brother, 50,000 people, they send missionaries all over the world. They, I think like a third, two-thirds of their population are considered like genuine born-again believers. It's incredible what God has done on that island. And for this tiny little island, they send missionaries everywhere. And Iceland kind of looks down a little bit. They go, ah, the Faroe Islands, smaller country than us. Okay, little brother, whatever. But it's actually been really cool to see Icelandic Christians go, man, we want to be like our little brother, as it were. We want to see what God has done in the Faroe Islands happen in Iceland. So if you want just an easy prayer point, pray that what happened in the Faroe Islands will happen in Iceland. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'd love to talk with you afterwards and share more if you want. Thank you. An extra 55 seconds.
Dude, yeah, so if you want to support or get in contact with Elliot, in your bulletin there's a QR code. There's also a link that you could just type in, and that'll take you directly to his information. But right now, I think, could we pray for you?
Yeah. Something I forgot to mention. We're only $1,300 a month short. So we're like right at the end. We've been fundraising for like 5 years. So we're like almost there. We're in the final stretch. So you could just pray that God would bring that in.
Great. All right, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, thank you for today. And thank you for people like Elliot and Hilder and Gunnar who love you and love your people and want to care for them through the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. And I can only imagine how difficult Iceland is in particular to be, as it's very post-Christian. God, would you help them? Would they be like their little brother, the Faroe Islands, and may they send out missionaries to reap the harvest? God, we love you. We pray this all in your son's name. We all said, amen.